Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Happy Friday to everybody. I gave sound guy Cinny and the spirit of Whitney the day off, and I believe they went to the beach. So it's just me working today in the granny flat. I'll try and get the levels right. I'll try and tell the story. Here we go. Week 36 of 50, The Hustler. The rest of the week. So last you heard, I booked a 3-life win at the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. And I was playing the Hustler game, the one I came up with specifically for them. 5, 5, 10, $300 to $1,500 buy-in. And it was a great game, like I knew it would be, and like it proved to be at the Sahara the week before in Las Vegas, where I tried it out. Anyways, I didn't play well at all, and for good reason. I was exhausted. I was fucking exhausted by the time we started playing, and certainly as the session wore on. But it also really bothered me in the moment. It felt like I booked an L instead of a W on this night. And I don't know if I even mentioned it, but the guy that came to our game, one of the guys that came and bought him for 300, he had 180 and ran it up to like 4K. He outplayed me in a couple spots, and it just felt so gross. Like, it's going to happen. You're going to get outplayed sometimes by a good player. If you're getting outplayed a couple times by someone who's not a good player, is just like a middle of the night fucking degen, awesome dude, but shouldn't be outplaying me. It was just a fucking stark reminder that I'm not ready. I'm not ready to make my third rise. Nope, I'm not. I have to change a lot in my life. I have to change my schedule. I have to get it under control. I have to travel a little bit less. I have to sleep a lot more, and maybe on some kind of normal schedule, if at all possible. And I need to exercise. That's important. And I need to have some downtime. And I need to make some time to work on my game. Yeah, probably something I've never mentioned, but I've mentioned that I've risen twice in the poker world. That's well known to anyone who's been following my content. But I don't know if I've mentioned that both times during the rise, I worked on my game a shit ton, like obsessively. And so I'm probably going to need to have some time to do that again, if I'm fucking being honest with myself. And I don't have time for any of that shit right now. And that's okay. It was around 5:30 a.m. on Wednesday, September 8th, when I got up from that super soft 5-5-10 game that I'd built 6 or so hours before with the help of some patrons, Marley Cadero, AK Gaucho, and his better half. And we just started out very mellow. Played limit until someone sat. Then we played no limit, but we didn't go for each other's throats, and just kind of, you know, when a game's fragile, you don't want to be too aggro. And then it got solid, and then they left, and I was playing with people I wanted to play with, you know, that I wanted to beat. And yeah, it was I had to leave it though. I was just exhausted. And anyways, we all walked to the cage, if you recall, after that session review, and I was pretty disgusted with my play, if I'm being honest. And then we went and checked the STP scores. So basically we all just, you guys remember this, was only yesterday, but we walked past the stage, that giant crown where all the ballers play, and went to the Hustler Casino live area, and I have a key, and I opened it up, and then I had you all wait downstairs. And just because, you know, it's top secret. It honestly is fucking top secret. All the equipment up there and the setup and everything. So I went up the stairs, and, you know, Ryan Feldman set up a scoreboard up there, like a ticker, but more of a scoreboard on a monitor. That's how accommodating he is. And I read you all the Save the Princess scores. And then, you know, I came down the stairs and fist bumped you all, and I locked it up, and we said our goodbyes, right? Okay, and then I got on the road back to the Doubletree in Torrance. And so I wasn't feeling great towards the end of the session. And I wasn't feeling great when I went to go cash out. And you guys were with me, and that made me feel better. And then I felt a little bit better doing the STP scores. And by the time I was in traffic, there's already traffic at 5:30, but it's just building. It's not like insane traffic at that time. So I'm flooring it. I'm trying to, you know, just get back to the hotel before the traffic gets, you know, gridlock, which it just will often in Los Angeles. But I was already doing some CBT, and that's cognitive behavioral therapy, something I learned when I was working for David, my friend, the psychiatrist. It's, you just learn to think better about stuff. And so the first thing I said to myself is, it's okay that you played bad on this night, because you didn't try to play bad. It would probably be bad if you tried to play bad. I didn't. And most people don't try to do things that are bad, right? And that's just something to remember. Like, if you can't sleep, don't feel guilty about it, because you're obviously not trying to be wide awake right now. You wish you were asleep. If your neighbor's being a fucking asshole, they're honestly not trying to be a fucking asshole. They're just being a fucking asshole. And anytime you can find that understanding, it immediately takes away a lot of the negative emotion, right? The guilt or the shame or whatever that nonsense is. So I'm just telling myself, man, you're working a crazy schedule and you're trying to fit in poker at the end of the night. And in some sessions, you're going to suck. And some sessions, you'll still be locked in and whatever. But it doesn't matter. This is 2021. This is season 4 of this podcast. And season 4 is about the impossible grind. It's about telling my ridiculous life story, you know, every single day of it. And maybe, well, mostly as an escape, but also for inspiration for others who really have to trudge through. And just, it's not easy. Like, there's just nothing really is easy in life when you want to be easy. Sometimes things are easy when you don't expect it or when you're not trying. But when you really want something to be easy, it's just not that easy often. And so I like telling the story of it's just being a cockroach, right? Like, brick every turning point. That's happened for since the beginning of this podcast. And just setback after setback, and you just keep coming back like a fucking cockroach. Well, that's what season 4 is going to be, the conclusion of that phase of the comeback, right? It's, okay, well, you've thrown everything at me pretty much, and I just keep coming back. And poker's been rough. I've won each year, but I haven't won jack shit. And every time I've played bigger, I've run horrible. And, like, that's not even subjective. It's the money's in, and I'm a huge favorite, and I lose. I run it twice. That's not even subjective. But what's happened is something kind of beautiful because of that is that I've just adapted. That's what cockroaches do. And so this podcast that started out as nothing, just a way for me to hold myself accountable to playing well. It's turned into something that many people listen to 4 times a week, and it's turned into my job. It's turned into what's going to cover my bills soon. It's already, my salary's gone up every month since I started a Patreon page, and it's already over 4K. It's going to get to fucking 10K, 12K, 15K, whatever. The moment it gets to my monthly nut, which is somewhere around there, things are going to get good, right? Because then a lot of the stress will be gone. I'll be able to sleep better, and anything I win will go to getting out of debt. And I've already started paying off a little bit here and there, and it feels good, and it'll feel great to owe no one, even though on my list, I think 27 people owe me money, but whatever. I want to worry about the people I owe that I've owed for way too long, and there are less of them now. But anyways, that I kind of went off the tracks there. Let me take a sip of coffee and get this thing back on the tracks. So I'm flooring it back to the DoubleTree in Torrance, and I'm just kind of, you know, you could call it rationalizing, but I'm calling it CBT. Just saying what you expect to play great after, you know, when you start a session at, you know, around midnight and you just are on fumes, you're not going to always. Sometimes I will, and I don't know. So I started looking ahead to next year, season 5, and that's when I'm going to play good. I'm going to do those things that I talked about. I'm going to create a better schedule for myself. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to get in shape, you know, as much as a 47-year-old man can. And I'm going to work on my game. And I'm not going to say what I'm going to do for that, but I am. And it's, I don't know, it's just how I made myself feel better. And I did get to my room and I made it really cold so I could get under the blankets. And I put this podcast on. A lot of people talk about this podcast as their sleeping pill. It's mine too. I don't know. I talk slowly. And so it was, you know, I don't know what episode I put on. It doesn't matter. I never make it. I hardly ever make it, you know, past the intro. So and I put an eye mask on too, and I crashed. And I woke up around 11 a.m. on Wednesday, September 8th. So it's easy for me to fall asleep. It's not easy for me to stay asleep. Probably too much on my mind. And probably too much caffeine every day. Anyways, I woke up wired and tired. And that's not a good feeling. Many of you know that feeling. It sucks. But also, what's worse is when you worry about it. Like, the best thing you can do is say, so what? I'm wired and tired right now. So what? Fuck it. I didn't choose to be. I'm going to go downstairs, get a coffee, get some more caffeine, get a bagel, come back and work. Because that's my way out. As long as I don't fucking die, my way out is working my ass off, which I've done for 4 years, and I'm going to work smarter next year. That's the plan. And then I did that, and I tried to take a nap, and didn't work. So what? Sometimes I can nap, sometimes I can't. And I got a text from Marley. I was holding her money because they were staying in an Airbnb, and I'm staying in a hotel with a safe, and she said she needed some. She'd been punting it off. No, I don't know. She was running bad in some game before she played on stream. So I head over to the Hustler Casino Live, and I got the windows down. You know, I've talked about this several times. Southern California air is nice, especially coastal air. And, you know, I spend a lot of time in San Diego, close enough to the coast, and I do love the air down here. But I think the South Bay of Los Angeles, that air is just a notch like even greater. It's just, I don't know. I love driving with my windows down, even if it's hot. And anyways, I really enjoy that drive. I listen to, you know, usually Lil Wayne, a mixtape or something. I don't know. Even though I got a really old car, I just enjoy it. The drive to the Hustler from the Doubletree. Anyways, I got there. I got my caffeine. I did buy a new Yeti to take up there to put coffee in, but I forgot to take it with me on this trip. So next time I go to Hustle Casino Live, I think having coffee in the booth will be better for me than soda and, you know, that sugar-free monster shit. And anyways, that's what I got. And then I gave Marley her money. She was already in the game. They start playing before we start commentating. That's just for the integrity of the game. And it's got to be on a lag. And then I head up to the booth and I got ready. You know, I always write a script, and I, you know, then I get a blank piece of paper and I have Ryan come in the booth and I say, all right, who's sitting in what seat and what do they do? And, you know, he gives me the information and, okay, what are we playing today? Are they straddling? What's the min buy, max buy? That kind of stuff. I think I'll always, even when I get more comfortable commentating, I think I'll always want to be prepared like this. I'll always get there half hour early. Some of the vets that I've worked with, they don't need to. They show up 10 minutes early, 5 minutes early. They got it. Well, it's all new to me. And anyways, I start commentating. And I felt like this night was theater. Wednesday, what was it, the 8th? Yeah, Wednesday the 8th of September. You can watch any episode you want, whenever you want. I highly recommend you subscribe to the Hustler Casino Live channel and, you know, get the alerts when it comes on. It comes on at 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 5 hours at least, and sometimes six. And but this night was, you know, it was just a 5-5-10 game. So Monday nights are usually PLO, but on this week it was Labor Day special, high stakes, no limit. Amazing, right? You have Garrett and Gall and Andy and others, right? And then Tuesday is the fucking insane game. It's the ante game, 5-5-50. It sometimes plays bigger than the Friday game. It's just enormous and unbelievable action, and it's a really fun game to watch. Wednesday is more like a study of people. It's 5-5-10. It's the smallest game they have. it's the hustler game. This is why I came up with the hustler game is this is the game the hustler should be spreading, but not what the one came in by out on the floor. The one came in by is good for the stream because you need people to have stacks, right? But anyways, it's just a study of it's theater on this night. It's Marley Cordero and eight dudes, and it's just such a mix of characters, and there's some awkwardness, there's some nervous energy, and it's fucking all human shit. People are saying some stuff that's out of line. People are fucking punting it off. We all do that. We just don't play on stream, right? Marley had a tough hand where she kind of got really sticky with Jack 8 of hearts. And you know what? We all do that from time to time. We just don't play on stream where people can fucking flame us to death in the chat. And people got overserved at the table. I believe they took 5 shots while I was watching. That's a lot. I don't typically like to take shots at the table because that's when things can get a little out of control, right? That's when the spew can get a little out of control and you're like, whoa, did I really just get all my money in with this hand pre-flop? And because it made sense to, because you were drunk. So I like to just keep a steady drip of like Bud Light, occasional cocktail, but they were doing shots, which is fun. Live your life, whatever you want to do, right? And it makes for fucking great theater. People are saying weird shit. People are starting to say some gay shit. And you always wonder, like, where's this coming from? I thought it was fucking theater. I really enjoyed the entertainment value of it. It wasn't Doug Polk approved poker at all. But it was entertaining. For me in the booth, I had a good time doing this. And a lot of people in the chat were enjoying it. And I don't know, it's every night at Hustler Casino Live has a different vibe to it. The Monday is PLO often, so PLO players love that. And Tuesday is that crazy fucking action ante game. And that just has this, it's just full on adrenaline all the time because people are doing crazy shit. Wednesday is a study of people. It's just like, it's the game's not as big and the action's not that insane. But I don't know, it's cool. It's a different vibe. And then Thursday is a little more serious. They play 10, 20, 40 usually. And then Friday is, you know, the fucking sicko game. And anyways, I don't know. I really enjoyed this Wednesday night in the booth. And, yeah. And then there was a technical difficulty where the show ended an hour early. Something happened where it stopped recording. And so Ryan pours his heart and soul into this project. He's there every single time when I get there, and he's the last one there, and he's there on all the days I'm not there too. He is someone, he's obsessed with this project, and you can see the results. A very capable person that people like. He has fucking Gilbert Arenas, Paul Pierce. He has all these big time celebrities coming on a show because they play with him and they like him. And I don't know, but he was very upset when the show ended an hour early. I'm like, man, in the grand scheme of things, it won't matter at all. It was the Wednesday show. It's 1 hour. You give people extra time all the time. It's a free show. But obviously it's his baby. And so he was upset and I'm like, anything I can do? And he's like, nope. And so I walked down the stairs and went out and, they were still playing. They weren't on stream anymore. And I told Marley the technical difficulties. And I said, let's go get a drink and let's call the crew over from the Airbnb that came out. And they came over, the crew from the Airbnb and me and Marley, and we're having beers and we're going to go get some dinner, late night dinner, and go out. That's the plan. And Iman, who played on the first show I ever commentated, he played the PLO. He was wearing the Aspiring Whale poker rag shirt. Just a really fucking cool dude. Young guy. Patron. Recently married. And just awesome. We'll just grab him from the PLO. You're going with us. We'll give you a ride. And we all head down to Long Beach. And we ate at some place on 2nd Street. It was very good. It was just, the food was very good. It was the service. There was only one guy working, so it was kind of slow. But that's what you get. Ever since Corona, it seems like people are understaffed. The plan was to go out, and then after we ate, everyone was just exhausted. It was a ramen place, but everything else was so good. I didn't even eat ramen. But everyone's too exhausted to go out. That was the plan, right? And so we start, you know, dropping people off, drop Iman off, and then I try to, you know, drink with some of the folks back at the Airbnb. Oh, I do that. I successfully drink just some beers, and I think we were watching one of the shows, Hustler Casino Live, and then I tried to crash there, but it was a little too hot, and there was these two little dogs that kept waking me up. So in this crew is this beautiful Armenian woman, and she has two little Morkies that's half Maltese and half Yorkie, and they are very cute dogs, very sweet dogs, and they are a handful, and they wouldn't let me sleep. So my new thing is I have to sleep. So I borrowed that woman's car, that beautiful Armenian woman, her car, and I drove to the DoubleTree, and I slept okay there. Let me take another sip of coffee. You know what? It's kind of lonely without Sound Guy, Cinny, and the Spirit of Whitney here. I hope they're having fun at the beach. I don't know. But I woke up around noon on Thursday, September 9th. And I headed back to the Airbnb because they had bought a bunch of breakfast stuff. And I was going to crash there and eat breakfast with all of them. But I had to sleep. So came back for breakfast. It was amazing. And SD Jen was there. And anyways, then I came back to the DoubleTree because I had some more work to do and had to get ready to go out. The first NFL game of the season on this night, the Buccaneers hosting the Dallas Cowboys. And I had watched Hard Knocks. Dallas Cowboys seem like a pretty terrible organization. I mean, they're you know, good theater as well, but they just don't seem that well run. And I don't know, the Bucks seem the opposite, right? Tom Brady. And anyways, we're gonna go watch that. And I'm gonna meet with the GM of Hustler first, Sean Yapel, the guy that's been so good to me, along with Ryan and Nick. But he's gonna go out with us. I'm gonna meet with him first. Just unofficial meet, talk about some stuff, talk about how the game's going, talk about some ideas. I have some ideas. I think the three tables beyond the crown that you can see when you're watching the stream, I think those should be called the bullpen, and they should run the same game that's going, and then if someone busts, Ryan can just pull someone from there and bring them up. And I don't know, we're just, you know, bouncing ideas off each other, and, you know, I owe this guy some beers anyways, and that's the plan. And SD Jen says she will give me a ride, and so she shows up with Marley, and we're going to head there. And as mentioned, I fired the Buccaneers, and I let other people in on the bet because I want everyone to enjoy the riches, right? So I got Marley to bet, Jen to bet, a bunch of people bet on the fucking Buccaneers, the defending champs, and they're laying a bunch of points, 8.5, 9, something like that, whatever. And so we're going to have fun. We're going to downtown LA. The whole crew's going to show up eventually. Other people are going to come up from San Diego, from Orange County. And so Jen, you know, it's cool. She said she would drive, and oh, you know, we're just talking or whatever. And then I look out the window and I see the Hustler. She drove me from my hotel to the Hustler. And I had already sent her the address to the bar we're going to in downtown LA. But I also said I had a meeting and she got confused or I was unclear. And she thought my meeting was at the Hustler. Oh, my God. So we just went out of our way, and that traffic's getting worse, and I feel really bad. Partly, I cannot express enough how I'm always doing something. So, like, I just took a piss before I started recording, and I was, like, going through Twitter, making sure I like what I need to like. I'm going through Slack, doing whatever, right? I'm always messaging people, you know, corresponding. And so when I sent the address to everyone in the crew, and I thought it was clear that that she was picking me up and we're going to downtown LA to a bar. And I was just going to have a beer and chat with Sean before the game started. And it was cool if whoever was there. It didn't matter. It wasn't going to be anything formal. She thought I had to go to the Hustler. Oh, shit. So now we got a lot of driving to do and the traffic's getting heavy. Los Angeles style. Yeah. So anyways, we fight our way through traffic and we get downtown. and we find parking, and we find this bar. It was called Limerick's, but it was actually called like Rick and Riley's. It's called Limerick's on Yelp, but Rick and Riley's is what it, maybe they bought it. I don't know what exactly was going on, but we get in there and we got this long, like, I think they're called picnic tables and TVs everywhere. And they're doing like the national anthem, and fucking A, does it feel good to have football back and like people in the stands. Everyone felt alive. I'm pretty sure I'll speak for everyone. Everyone felt alive. And it was pretty, Sean's already there, and he's already ordered a couple appetizers, and we get some drinks going, and other people start showing up. That beautiful woman from Armenia showed up without her dogs. And then Garin Balakgiolo, you've heard about him plenty. That's Alex Banana. He showed up. And then Dr. David Namark, my friend from San Diego, he drove up. And then Beanie Adam and his better half showed up. And who's Beanie Adam? That's Adam Johnson. You heard about him yesterday in the shout outs. He a longtime poker pro. He's a PLO pro now. He's going to start a vlog. He signed up to be a patron. I'd brought him a hoodie from Poker Rags, because when he was commentating on Hustle Casino Live, he didn't realize that was my company. Someone, Sammy, was wearing a No Gamble No Future shirt, and he was like, I love this shit. It reminds me of, you know, Commerce and Young Man and whatever. And then someone told him it was my company, and he was like, you know, whatever. And we got him a hoodie, and he signed up to be a patron. And we had a good vibe going on this picnic table. We didn't even come close to covering. I lost too much money, but whatever. Felt very alive. And it was cool to see Adam and meet his better half. And like, we used to do this shit like 10 years ago. We used to go out in downtown LA, and when we played at Commerce, and I don't know, it was just cool. And then it was time to call it a night for Adam and his better half. And the rest of us want to go. Well, I was set on going to a rooftop bar after the game, win or lose, right? Because you want to go to a sports bar and watch the game. We got money on it. We got whacked. Lost, you know, everyone lost. That's my fault. You know, I don't know what the hell happened to Tampa Bay's defense that could, you know, Mahomes couldn't do anything against. Well, Dak Prescott could do whatever he wanted against. I don't know. But, yeah, so we're going to go to a rooftop bar. The weather's just too good not to, right? And I'm working hard. This is my night off because Lon McCarron and Norman Chad are in the booth on this night. So let's do that. And we start walking to the Ace Hotel, I'm pretty sure it's called. And it's just, you know, it's a good walk. It just feels great outside. And there's all these scooters lying around. And I had played with a guy, I think his name's Eric Hicks, who plays on stream sometimes. And I'd played with him at the Aria one time. And he was telling me how he's going on poker after dark. And he was asking me how he should play against Garrett. And I just said, you know, dumb shit. Like, I don't remember. Fold preflop. Just, you know, whatever. But he was fun to play with. And he had electric scooters, and never knew what that meant. Well, there's all these scooters on the sidewalk in downtown LA. Never seen this before. And so we're walking there, and that beautiful Armenian woman wants to ride one, right? And but she can't figure it out. She says, okay, you guys keep walking, and I want to figure this out. And so, okay. And so we walk, and then I'm waiting for her out front, and call her, and she's still trying to figure it out because I don't know, you have to get an app or whatever. And, you know, she's punk rock. She's going to figure this shit out, and she wants to ride a scooter. And so we all go up to the rooftop, and she does show up. And so she got it to work. And we're on this rooftop, and it's me, that beautiful Armenian woman, SD Jen, Marley, Alex Banana, that's Garin, and David. And I don't usually drink wine, but it seems like a night to drink wine, right? It's just, I don't know, it's just so chill up there. And we start drinking wine, and I start unraveling. Like, not in a really bad way, but just in a, man, I've been going too hard way. I just need to, like, drink this wine and spew off and just be really dumb. And I was just being really dumb on this night. I don't think it offended anyone. I think people are just like, this guy is like on one right now. And I needed to decompress. And it was fun. I had fun. I think everyone else had fun. And then it was time to go. I think we had 3 bottles of wine. The crew did. And, you know, people are having different conversations. And I was just, you know, spewing, which I do. I'm a spewer. Everyone knows that. But this was like, okay, I just need to like drink wine and be stupid right now. And all in love. And well, I think we had a good time. And then we got back down and people are going to walk back to the cars. And, you know, that beautiful Armenian woman's going to ride a scooter. I want to ride a scooter. And it's the one I pick up says Lyft on it. Holy shit. I take Lyft all the time. So I scan the QR code or whatever. And now my scooter has juice. And they're pretty fast. And I've been, you know, I'm on fumes always. I've been drinking pretty heavily. And I'm out of shape. I'm not wearing a helmet. And I'm fucking whizzing down the street in downtown LA. I don't know how they're going to, like, once there's an accident, I don't know what's going to happen. But for now, this must, you know, I don't know if that guy, Eric, started it and Lyft bought him out. Or if they're competing with him or what. But it's fun as hell. Like, I thought it was nice walking in the LA air, you know, at night. Well, it's even nicer on a scooter, just whizzing down the streets, me and that beautiful Armenian woman. And I don't, like, you know, I'm a little bit overserved, and I just fly past, like, these cones, and suddenly I'm on a movie set. And, like, all these people are, like, waving me, like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, because they're filming something downtown, and that's what those cones meant. But I didn't know what those cones meant. I thought it was, like, construction. I was just going to fucking weave around it or whatever. And I'm in there, and she's in there with me, and they're like, no, get the fuck out of here. We're filming a show or a movie or whatever. Like, okay, turn it around, whiz back on our scooters. This was fun. This was actually really fucking fun and dangerous. And I don't know. We made it back to where everyone had walked to, the parking lot, and I need another sip of coffee. So, yeah, I think I recommend go down to downtown LA and get a scooter and maybe do it, you know, more sober than I was, but I didn't fall, and it felt like we were going pretty fast, and it was kind of cool, you know, going on that movie set too. I don't know, but I got a ride back to the DoubleTree, and I went up to my room. I drank a lot of water, and I had some snacks, and then I crashed, and I didn't sleep well, but I never fucking do. So what? I woke up early on Friday, September 10th, and I packed up, and I worked, and I took a little nap. If you get an eye mask, a good one, that really helps. In a hotel room, you can make it cold, and, you know, you can put on some massage music, or you can put on my podcast, and I talk slowly and puts people to sleep, and it works. I don't know, but I got a little nap in, and then I got up and showered and packed up the rest of my stuff and went downstairs and checked out and got a receipt, went to my trusty old Lexus and put the windows down. It was hot. I started heading towards the Hustler Casino, but not to the Hustler Casino. I stopped at this lunch spot called Painter's Tape. Well, it's just a restaurant that had really good reviews, really close to the Hustler. And so the Hustler's not in the best area, but it's, you know, everything's just getting nicer. And it makes sense that the nicest weather in the world's going to have nice areas. And it's kind of happening already. And so I met this dude there. He's wearing a hat, in really good shape, and he's pretty good at poker. And that's everyone's favorite poker player, G-Man. We had decided to catch up. We used to be really good friends. We had a falling out, mainly my fault. It's documented in season 3. I did G-Man Week, where I interviewed him for a long time, and I think it was 5 drops of interviews and anecdotes. And it was very human. It, like, Most people really love how good he is at poker. I do too, but more, I just like respect, like what I know him pretty good, and I just respect like what he's done on a personal level. And we had a lot of fun times. I kind of was probably a bad, for sure I was a bad influence. I didn't know it. I was starting to spiral to rock bottom in, 2013 or whatever and beyond. And I was kind of bringing him down with me a little bit, but we also were having a lot of fun. I heard him say somewhere recently that it was the lowest point of his life. And I was like, oh shit, that's partly my bad, but it wasn't intentional. And I don't know, there's a lot of funny memories, and we had falling outs and then reconciled, and he's, done a lot for me. I've done a lot for him. And I don't know, it's just two grown men going to eat lunch and in entirely different places in their lives. We used to battle every single day. Well, our careers and lives kind of went in opposite directions, and that's well documented. It's fine. He might have, all the money and the good schedule and travel and all that, but I got the fucking comeback story, and those are fucking pretty sick to have. So I don't know. It's just pretty interesting. I'm in this really old beaten down car, and he's got a very nice one, obviously, and he's in perfect shape, and I'm not, and I'm a little hungover, and he's ordering all the healthy stuff, and I order the fucking 10K burrito. And it's not because it cost 10K. It had 10,000 calories. No, it wasn't called that, but it looked like that. And in my mind, I would have called it the 10K burrito if I owned that restaurant. And the dude who owns Painter's Tape, I think it's the owner, young guy, very cool. Anyways, we order, we sit down, and we catch up. And it's just cool. We talk life, we talk some poker, we talk some streaming stuff. He lets me know about a lot of stuff I didn't know about the streaming industry. And I don't know. It was just it's cool to catch up. And then he has to take off because he's got to play poker in about 15 minutes down the street at the Hustler Casino. And they'll start recording. And then a couple hours later, I'll be in the booth with Marley and we'll start talking about it. That's how it works. Live streams are always on a little bit of a delay because they have to be. Otherwise, people will figure out a way to fucking cheat. And so Hustler Casino Live is all about not having that happen. That's why there's security guards everywhere. They take your phone. I've had a hard time getting in there until they started to recognize me. Yeah. So he heads to the Hustler and I head to Starbucks drive-thru. I'm going to get coffees for everyone at the Airbnb. And I do that and I get over there and I give them their coffees and I set up my laptop. I have a coffee too. And I start writing. I'm a writer, and I just write for this podcast, but I used to write in a 2K thread on 2+2 just a ton, right? And I've written, the best thing I've ever written is songs, and hopefully someday I'll record those. I've also written a play that I didn't finish about a homeless woman named Nancy, and she it was based on a true story where one of my idiot acquaintances when I was in college brought this homeless woman back to a party, and it was just kind of weird. And then I wrote a play about it where she robbed everyone and was laughing on her way out. That's not what happened, but anyways, yeah, I'm a fucking writer at heart, and now I'm a podcaster, and I gotta write for my podcast. That's what I'm doing on this day with a coffee at the Airbnb. And then I also write a script for me and Marley. I don't know how to start off a show at Hustler Casino Live. I got to figure it out soon because I also suck at reading aloud. And anyways, Marley and I head over to the Hustler, and I apologized to her for my car being so nice. I was just joking. It's really beaten down. It's just my kids have destroyed it. Time has destroyed it. It's almost got 300,000 miles on it. It makes weird sounds. She's like, what's that? I'm like, it's an upgrade. Don't worry. Anyways, we get to the Hustler and then go to the gift shop, get my caffeine. I quit energy drinks for a long time. They're bad for blood pressure. They're horrible for you, right? So next time I go up there, I will remember to bring my Yeti and I'll just fill that thing up with black coffee. not nearly as bad for you. But forgot my Yeti. Coffee's going to get cold. Cold coffee's nasty. So I'm going to get this energy, this giant energy drink and a soda. And we head up there. And I had this skit that I wrote. And she, you know, she's just totally flexible, cool. You're like, yeah, I'll do it. And we start, and then they start going to the player intros quicker than they usually do, and or at least I think they do. And so it fucks up the whole script. And I don't know. I need to stop doing that shit. I did write one where I talked about driving to the Hustler on Redondo Beach Avenue, the windows down, the Lil Wayne mixtape. I thought that intro, that script was okay, but I need to just quit that shit. I don't know. I started doing that with podcasting too. I would write sentences and I'm just the worst at reading them aloud. And well, I finally said, fuck that. And like now I just have little bullet points and just, you know, whatever. Yeah. So it was a Friday, the big game. Let me take another sip of coffee. It's weird not having Cine and Sound Guy in the spirit of Whitney here. So let me take another sip and I'll tell you about the big Friday game. So normally, the Friday, or a big game, you just want to let the game breathe. I think this is what I've learned. I do listen to the chat, or I do, you know, sometimes. Sometimes they're just the worst. But there's good input in there sometimes. And if the table talk is good, people just want to be, they want to feel like they're sitting at the table. And then when there's a lull or someone's in the tank, they want you to kind of guide the action or give some insights if you got them. And so I think I've kind of learned that, well, I have Marley in the booth with me and everyone wants to ask her questions. A lot of people are there for her. So it's a combination of, it's not the normal Friday thing where you just let the players talk and whatever. It's a combination and it's cool. And she's very funny, and I don't know. She's only going to be there for a couple hours and then head back to Vegas with the Airbnb crew. And so before she leaves, I go downstairs and I take a little break. Just 5 minutes, go take a piss, walk around. I think I probably should have got some fresh air, but I know I'm going to be in there for another, 4.5 hours at least. And come back up, say goodbye to her, and now I'm on my own. And the interesting thing that happened early on in this session was three people played a hand well. Gall could have folded, but he decided to gamble, which is fine. He's been crushing. I'm for it, right? He gambled pre-flop and then post-flop. All three players got the money in correctly, meaning they had no choice, right? Gall flopped huge for 5-3 suited. He flopped bottom pair and a flush draw, which I did in one of my sessions recently, if you've been listening. I did it at the Encore, and this was much bigger. So he flopped that. Krish flopped a top set of nines. And George had pocket aces, and he had blown up the pot pre-flop, and they all were supposed to get the money in on the flop, as they did. I believe it was 125K pot, and George banked a one-outer because he couldn't hit the ace of hearts. He could only hit an ace, the ace that wasn't the heart, and he binked it, and it was a big moment in the show, and Krish ran horrible, and of course the chat's like, Krish, you suck. I'm like, yeah, he just got the money in good for 125K pot. But, you know, he got very unlucky, so the chat's going to be very, you know, toxic. Great. Good for you guys. But anyways, now George has 125K, and whatever Gall lost in the hand, 30, 40K, he didn't blink. I respect that guy. And anyways, so George had, and now I'm thinking, like, this is going to be interesting the rest of the day, right? Because now you're going to actually see some real fucking poker. When everyone's sitting short, it doesn't matter how much Garrett is sitting with, right? Because it's always effective stacks. But now you have someone sitting with 125K, and now you're going to see some real deep stack, no limit hold'em shit. Some real poker. This is real poker. Sitting around and being patient and folding and playing cookie cutter bullshit, congratulations. I want to see some psychological shit. I want to see some who's got the most heart, who can, you know, figure things out. And I just have a feeling that Garrett and probably Gall too, Andy wasn't playing on this day, are going to really put George to the test. George is a recreational player, very savvy, can hold his own, but has probably never been 125K deep against these beasts. And so I say something about it, like, this is going to get interesting eventually. They're going to test him. And this is poker. This is how it should be. And I don't know. So I say that, and then I'm getting a little bit spaced out. Just, you know, I decided I'm not going to be going out before Friday. Thursday night's the worst night for me to go out, because Friday's the game where I have to be most alert in the booth. And anyways, at several hours after that huge pot, and the timestamp is 5 hours and 58 minutes and maybe, you know, 30 seconds. I'm not sure exactly, but you can just start at 5 hours and 58 seconds on the Friday, the 10th show. And it's Garrett and Gall Play High Stakes. I think that's the title of it, but it was the 10th. You can just check out all their videos whenever you want. But watch that one. Go to 5 hours and 58 minutes, and you'll see what I was just ranting about. You'll see real poker. Real world-class fucking poker. And it starts right around 5:58, maybe a few seconds after. What I said earlier in the day, it's been coming to fruition. Garrett's been attacking the deeper stacks, and they don't want to mess with him. And they're kind of letting him know, like, I don't want to play this hand against you. Like, George already folded ace-queen suited to just, like, one raise from Garrett, because he's like, I just don't want to play, you know, against you this deep. Well, he knows that, and, you know, he's a nice guy, but he's going to play poker, and here it is. It actually comes to fruition, because you can not want to play. You can get super deep and be uncomfortable and not want to play against the beast, but then you're, you know, your ego's going to kick in a little bit. No, fuck this guy. Let's battle. Well, here we go. So Reza, who was a superstar, opens with H-Jack offsuit. David, who just ran bad, just card dead and bad the whole day, calls with some bad hand. It's fine. Garrett is on the button, and he 3-bets with ace-10 offsuit. Reza has ace-jack offsuit. David has, I don't remember, something not that great. And Garrett has ace-10 offsuit on the button, 3-bets against some deep opponents. David's the least deep, I believe, but his hand's awful. And George cold calls with king-10 of diamonds. And Reza calls, and David calls, completing the action, gamble. I respect it. The flop comes king-9x rainbow. Okay, and they check to Garrett, and he bets half pot against 3 opponents with air, right? And George calls, and the other 2 fold, and I just sit up in my seat. I just know we're going to see what I thought was going to happen. I think I called this shit hours earlier. I just know it right here, because George calls, and the other 2 fold, and now Garrett knows George has top pair, and so that means he has 1 pair. And he has all this money, 100K in front of him. And that's a lot of fucking money. It's easy to play hands on the forums, right? It's easy to play hands in theory. It's a lot harder to play hands when it's real money, 100K. And, you know, George is savvy and has heart, but this is a new level, right? And so he calls, and it's king-9x rainbow. And, you know, Garrett bets half pot, which I believe was around 4K. And he called. So we got, you know, the pot's like maybe 15-16K, and the turn is a brick. And George, and but right on the flop, when George calls and the other 2 fold, if someone else calls, Garrett's not gonna, it's just gonna be really tough to navigate. But when George calls and the other 2 fold, it just seems like he's up against 1 pair, top pair. And so then I just know, like, you know, equity-wise, he's in a lot of trouble. He has ace-10 against king-10, and it's king-9x. But I just feel like he's going to win this hand. Just like on the Monday when he had kings against Andy's aces, I felt like he wasn't going to double Andy up. And I was, you know, that was just sick. But anyways, this is shaping up to be sick as well. And it's now I'm very alert in the booth, which I probably should be, even if the game's not, like, you know, something that's getting my juices going as a poker player. And so now the turn's an X, and George checks, and he's just like, come on, please check. Garrett's going to bet 14K, you know, 14 into 16 or something like that. And now George has a pretty big decision. 14,000 is a lot of money. 4,000 is a lot of money, but not to George. 14,000 is kind of a lot to him, but I already know he's just thinking about, what about the next fucking street, right? This fucking beast behind me, right? What about the next street? I'm not folding this hand. I've been folding too much. I know what's going through his head, and he calls the 14K, and I'm thinking, let's see a brick. Because if a brick comes, then Garrett's going to put him to the ultimate test for his fucking stack with one pair, the three barrel that could, he could only be a pure bluff. There's no missed draws, nothing, right? And so the river is not a brick. It's a jack. But something happens where I'm pretty sure Garrett knows that George doesn't have king jack. And I don't need to get into that. But it's pretty clear that George has top pair still only. He doesn't have king jack. And he checks. And I know it's coming, right? And it's, again, a lot of people will say they're doing this in a forum or just in anywhere where they're discussing hands. People aren't, you know how many people are doing this? Putting that stack of 5Ks in here? Not many. Some. But then I'm thinking, like, how many that have been in the game for as long as Garrett are doing this shit? How many? Like, you can do this when you're a new pro. Sure, you can have all the heart in the world. Wait till you take your lumps. And Garrett's taking his lumps, right? And then he always, you know, you always will. He just handles it very well and he, whatever. But he, the more you get beaten down, even if you're overall lifetime huge winner, it wears on you. So who's doing this that's been in the game this long? No one other than this guy. Is you, a lot of you play poker. Most of you play poker, and I'm sure you play with $5 chips sometimes at least. And you know a stack of $5 chips is $100. Well, you can just see Garrett's going to reach for a stack of 5K chips. That means a stack of 5K chips is $100,000. And you just know he's going to grab it and put it in there and put George in the fucking torture chamber. And that's what he does. And it's really nice to see. I talked recently that I want, the longer you're in the game, you want things to be not, you know, people take these lines that are very polarized, right? And they always just have the nuts when it's all in, right? Well, you just want it to be something different sometimes, and this is it. And George is in the tank, and he has a lot of fucking heart, George does. This isn't like, this would be way less impressive by Garrett if this was against some grinder who ran it up to 125. Of course he's going to fold. This is a rich dude who has a lot of heart and is savvy, right? And he knows Garrett's very capable, and he's in the tank, and you can see him, like, it seems like he might call. So there's a lot of variance here. He might, something might just go off in his brain and says call, and he says fuck it and calls. Or a chip might slip out of his hand and whatever. Things can happen, right? But he looks over to Garrett, and this is the last part of the hand, and Garrett passes the fucking eyeball test. The last part of, does he look nervous? Does he look concerned? A lot of times if people are bluffing that much, they will do something that'll give it away. Even if it's subliminal, it'll make George call. Fucking Garrett passed this test. That was the last part of it. And then George just says, fuck it, and folds. And holy shit, was that a sick hand. 5 hours and 58 minutes or so into the Friday, September 10th game. I don't know. It woke me up. I was, you know, a little spaced out prior to that. And yeah, and I saw it coming. When George won that huge pot, he was like a little shocked. He had to ask Garrett many hours earlier, do I get the whole thing? Which has happened. It's very human. There's 125K in the middle and you hit a one outer and there's a lot going on. And yeah, you get the whole thing. And Garrett answered him and said, yeah, congrats or whatever. And I just knew in that moment, this shit is going to get good later on. And it did, you know, and it was amazing to watch. And I was pumped up in the booth, and I don't know. It was just a very pure. I haven't seen anything better on stream, and the camera. Fuck, man! Somehow they have a camera that's over George's shoulder, looking at Garrett. So you're there, like I have to, and you're looking at him, and Garrett doesn't. He's not worried at all, and he's not. he's just sitting there chill and like, what the fuck are you going to do? Like, you've seen this guy turn over so many monsters, right? Yeah, you know he can bluff, but he's also turned over the nuts so many times and holy shit, he just has a way of knowing when they're going to fold and when they're not. And I don't know. It was pretty cool. And then I went back to spacing out a little bit and, you know, drinking my sugar-free monster and like stretching my jaw. I kind of been grinding my teeth at night. That's just, you know, when you're too stressed out. And I know that when I'm on, which is not as often as it used to be, I can get out whatever I want to get out when it comes to talking. Like, I can just pull from my limited vocabulary and just be on it. Well, on this day, I'm struggling a little bit because I'm just fucking worn out, man. I just am. But I do love this gig. And, like, you know, I think maybe the energy drinks aren't good because I think they work the first night and then they kind of make you grind your teeth and not sleep good and whatever. But it was the rest of the show was pretty funny. I thought Nick was being hilarious. People are too uptight. Like, let him be who he is. He's the owner of the fucking show. Does he act like he's the owner of the show? A little bit, because he's the owner of the fucking show. Does everything he says, is it politically correct? No, it's not. But who gives a shit? This is theater. You want to be at the high-stakes games in LA? This is what it's like. People say whatever they want. They're emotional. You have one fucking superhero at the table. You have someone who's trying to become a superhero in Gaul. And you have these other people that are like getting better every single time they play against these guys. They're getting closer and closer to making that call right there. And that George folded. And I don't know. I thought it was fucking really good show. And then it finally ends. And Ryan says, lay out. And he's told me that several times. I don't know what layout means. I mean, I know it means shut the fuck up, like it's just gonna end, but I don't know if it means like lead out, like say something or just shut up now. I should probably ask him that next time. It's 11:30 p.m. on Friday the 10th. Is that right? 6-7? Yeah, 10th. And oh shit, what a good show. And I thank Ryan, say goodbye to him. They're still playing downstairs. And so I just walk by the Crown and I go to the snack bar and I get 2 Diet Cokes, more caffeine and a cup of ice. And I find my trusty old Lexus in the parking lot. And I'm thinking, please make it down to San Diego. I got to be up in about 7 hours for soccer, for my daughter's soccer game. And then my son has a game after that. And so I start driving and I start listening, not because I'm a narcissist, because I want to get better at commentating. I've commentated with a bunch of really good commentators, right? And Bart helped me. I haven't commentated with him, but he's amazing and he helped me. And I want to get better. And the first thing I notice, I think I have a good feel for when to talk and when not to. So that's good. And I do know that I have insights into like a deep stack play that many probably just won't because they haven't done it as much as I have. But I like that part. But I just wasn't projecting. Is that right? The right way to say that? My voice. I wasn't as loud as I should have been in spots. And I just, it's an easy mistake to understand. I always speak into this microphone that I'm speaking into now. That's what I do 4 times a week. And there's no other noise going on unless sound guys fucking around, but usually no other noise, or unless the man above's, you know, walking with his heavy feet or there's construction. But in general, there's no table talk, right? And so this microphone I'm speaking to, I can just let my voice kind of resonate. I don't have to like project any words or whatever. And it works for a podcast. Well, if you're commentating, you have to speak a little more clearly and a little louder in some spots. And I don't know, that's the first thing I notice. Do others notice it? Probably. No one's really pointed it out to me because they're not going to nitpick this. But if you want to get good at something, you got to nitpick it. Like, I'm sure Garrett has nitpicked his poker game more than anyone, right? Like, oh no, I fucked up this spot. I need to work on this spot, right? Well, this is something I'm thinking about because I want to get good at this shit. I don't know. I like it. And who knows? I'm heading down the 405 and then I get on the 5 South and I get on the Talladega East. That's the 78 East. and still listening to it. I'm not watching, I'm just listening to it, and I'm really hoping my car makes it. I live at the top of a very steep hill in kind of a country area in North County, San Diego, and I just live below a family, and I just really hope my car makes it up. I'm hungry. I have not eaten since that 10K burrito way earlier in the day when I went out to eat with Poker's superhero, and I need to get back to my place anyways, and I just hope my car makes it up, and she does. At like, you know, just before 1 a.m., and now we've moved in to Saturday the 11th, 9/11, and I get in here. It takes me a couple trips. I have a lot of stuff in my car. Got a lot of stuff to unpack. I put a towel over the door, close the blinds. I get naked. That's the best part about living by yourself sometimes, is just you know, close, you know, don't let anyone see you and get naked. Just make some food and start watching the show more and watching the comments. And sure, there's some hate out there still for me, but a lot of people are starting to get it that I'm going to know some things when I'm watching these shows. I'm going to know what's going on in people's minds. I'm going to understand the game flow very well. And just it's my 9th show. Let me do some more. And then, you know, we'll see how I get at commentating. And there's a lot of positive feedback in there too. And I don't know. I'm not like, I don't need the comments to feel good about myself. I just want to get good at the craft. I don't know. And I got some feedback from the GM, the hustler, Sean Yapel. He says, just be yourself. He said that it was entertaining. Well, the show was entertaining. I couldn't have fucked up that game. But just says be yourself. And that's a good thing to think about. Like when I'm writing the script to start, that's not me. I'm unscripted. I'm spew. That's what I specialize in. So, I need to, you know, talk a little more clearly, a little louder at points, and realize it's a different microphone that I'm using when I podcast. Anyways, I microwave some burritos and I try to eat, and you know, I'm able to eat, and I try to drink a Space Dust beer, and that's Elysian Space Dust IPA. I never liked IPAs before, but I like this beer. And then I'm thinking, I'm already Space Dust, and I am. I have nothing left, physically, mentally, spiritually, just absolutely nothing left. And it's 2:30 a.m., and I set my alarm for 7 a.m., because I got to be a soccer dad in the morning. And I'm thinking, man, I'm behind on the podcast. That's going to happen when I go work up there, and that's fine. I'm thinking, I got a lot to do for Poker Rags. I haven't met with the other owners in a while. I need to make sure they know that I'm support them or whatever. And I'm thinking, I got some DGAF community issues I got to take care of. And then my last thought as I'm falling asleep is, God, I hope I wake up in the morning, because honestly, it feels like I might not. I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. That's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm going to need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise...